الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، ويأتينا ربك الأدب المفرد by أمير المؤمنين في الحديث الإمام البخاري رحمه الله محمد بن إسماعيل. We are on باب بر الوالد المشرك. باب بر الوالد المشرك. The chapter about being nice and kind, connecting ties with الوالد المشرك, a parent who happens to be a polytheist. How does Islam want us to relate with parents who are polytheist in terms of being nice and kind to them? What are the guidelines in the Sharia regarding that? From the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we read the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, where his mother was very, very off on Sa'd, insisting that Sa'd should leave the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was very, very firm. He had ever been a nice boy, a kind boy to his mother. But the condition of the mother's insistence, did not make him to follow her upon sin. And regarding that, Allah revealed, وَإِنْ جَاءَكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Allah sent down the verse that when parents become insistent that the child should join them upon disobedience to Allah, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, the child should not obey the parents, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, but still the child could be or should still be kind to them in the matters of this dunya. That was the point of reference in the hadith number 24 that we read, the first hadith under this chapter heading, Babu Zuril Walid al-Mushrik. There are a few other issues under it, but the major points for which Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah placed that hadith under this chapter was the story between Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Uhayb, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the successful companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was successful in the matters of this dunya and was also assured of success in the hereafter, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. The next hadith that followed that is hadith number 25. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا الحميدي قال حدثنا ابن عيينة قال حدثنا هشام بن عروة قال أخبرني أبي قال أخبرتني أسماء بنت أبي بكر قالت أتتني أمي راغبة في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فسألت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أصيلها؟ قال نعم. قال ابن عيينة فأنزل الله فيها لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين. الإمام البخاري صلى الله عليه وسلم is reporting this hadith from one of his best teachers ever, الإمام عبد الله بن زبير الحميدي أبو بكر. And that was the first person from whom he reported a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. So here also, this isnad is purely an isnad from Sahih al-Bukhari. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, حدثنا الحميدي. This Imam, Al-Imam al-Humaydi, is Abu Bakr Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he was a student of Al-Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah, after he had been a student of Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, from whom he has reported this particular الناس. الإمام الحميدي was in the studentship only by the tutelage of Al-Imam ibn Uyayna for 19 years, and he has repeated this hadith from him, from Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna. We would note that, just like Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, we have repeatedly come across the hadith of Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna. So I'd like to call our attention to reading about this Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, because we will find many hadith in the books of hadith, not Quran, in all the books of hadith. We will always find a hadith from Sufyan al-Thawri, we will always find a hadith from Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah. We should read about all about him, read about his teachers, and read about his students as much as Allah gives us the ability. This hadith was from him, rahimahullah. قال حدثنا هشام بن عمر الإمام سفيان بن عيينة الهلالي رحمه الله is reporting this hadith from his teacher هشام بن عمر. هشام بن عمر happens to be the grandson of أسماء بنت أبي بكر, the companion who was mentioned in this hadith. So هشام بن عمر is reporting this hadith. He said, قال أخبرني أبي, his father reported this hadith to him, and his father is Urwa ibn Zubair. الإمام Urwa ibn Zubair, we had come across one of his reports here in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, when he explained the verse of the Quran. So الإمام Hisham ibn Urwa is reporting this hadith from his father, Urwa ibn Zubair. Urwa ibn Zubair is the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Zubair. Abdullah ibn Zubair is a well-known companion radiallahu anhuma and the first child of Asma ibn Abi Bakr. But here we have this report from his younger brother Urwa ibn Zubair, one of the greatest scholars of hadith and fiqh and tafsir. He was one of the greatest scholars of hadith and fiqh and tafsir during the time of the Tabi'in radiallahu anhum. Urwa ibn Zubair, he has a lot of fadail. But I hope, inshallah, as we read along this book, we'll be coming across some of them, or some of them when we talk about him. We'll mention them, inshallah. So Hisham ibn Urwa is reporting this hadith from his father, Urwa ibn Zubair, rahimahullah, who is also reporting this hadith. And he said, Akhbaratni Asma ibn Abi Bakr Siddiq. Asma ibn Abi Bakr Siddiq is the mother of Urwa, and Urwa is reporting this hadith from him, from her, radiallahu anha. Just like Fahd ibn Abi Waqqas is a model man for knowledge and how to relate in the matter of our religion, Asma ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq is a model for humans, radiallahu anha. Asma ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq was a woman who was always very, very calm. She was older than Aisha radiallahu anha, even though they are from different members. We'll come back to that inshallah. Asma ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq had a mother different from the mother of Aisha. But the scholars of Sira make us understand that between Asma ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq and Aisha radiallahu anha was a different age gap of 10 years. Asma ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq is mentioned to be about 10 years older than our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, despite the fact that they were from different mothers. And Asma ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, she was a woman who was very, very intelligent. She was intelligent, she had great commitments, to Islam throughout the entirety of her life, especially when from the time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started his message. We remember that she was used to visiting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together with her father, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, when they were in the cave of Hira, on the day that they made Hijrah to Medina. She was a very brilliant young girl. She was doing that with her brother Abdullah, and Abdullah and herself were the same mother. The mother about whom we'll be discussing today, Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq and Asma'u bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq are from the same mother. Her name is Kufayla bint Abdul Uzza. Her name is Kufayla bint Abdul Uzza. That is the mother of Asma'u bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anha. This mother of Asma'u bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, she was married to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, had married her before Islam. They were married during the time of Jahiliyyah, and they got separated also during the time of Jahiliyyah. Some of the scholars said it was before the Prophet called to Islam that Abu Bakr got separated from Kutayla. But some of the scholars said no, it was for Islam, that Kutayla refused to accept Islam together with the rest of the family of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and she became divorced by Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. In whichever of the cases, it appears, and Allah knows best, that they had been divorced before the Prophet called to Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kutayla. So Asma bint Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and her brother Abdullah, who were both given birth to by Kutayla, the both of them were very, very helpful to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their father, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, during the time of their hijrah from Makkah to Medina. Abdullah used to come to them in the cave, just like Asma'u also used to bring food for them in the cave. Abdullah would bring information from the town about a particular thing, whether they are looking for them, what is the next thing the people wanted to do. So they used to do that, radiallahu anhum, Asma'u and her brother. And when she actually migrated to Medina, she was blessed with the son Abdullah. She happened to be the first Muslim woman who gave birth to a baby after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars of Sira reported that the non-Muslims used to chastise and abuse the Muslims and threaten them, the Jews especially, that look, this is an hijrah, it's a bad thing for you. You will see that you will not have a child in this Medina. But when Asma'u bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq made hijrah, she was able to give birth to Abdullah ibn Zubayr, and she Allah used her as the means to show those people who had given this thought and negative impression about the hijrah of the Muslims. So Asma'u bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, Allah gave her long life. She lived for a whole 100 years, radiallahu anha. And the ulama say throughout the time that she lived as a person who was brilliant. She had her intelligence with her, she had her suit with her. Yes, you know that she was able, but she had every sense with her, radiallahu anha, when she passed away at age 100, few days after her son Abdullah ibn Zubayr was martyred. Radiallahu anha. Asma'u bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, she had recorded a lot of ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't forget that she is the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. If she has no virtue except this, it suffices for her as a virtue. And we remember that she was the wife of Zubayr ibn Awwam. Zubayr ibn Awwam, the husband of Asma'u bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, was one of those who was promised al-Jannah by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also died as a martyr. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned earlier that Abdullah ibn Zubayr will die as a martyr, he actually died as a martyr from the information of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is from amongst those who have been assured of a place inside al-Jannah. When a woman now lives under a man who has been assured of al-Jannah, and she herself is committed to the religion, and she was given birth to by a man who was assured of al-Jannah, and she had a sister who was living with the noblest of mankind, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she herself enjoyed the opportunity she never distanced herself from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Asma'u bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq was always with the Prophet. She was always asking questions and seeking guidance regarding the religion. And by that, Allah made her to get nobility in this dunya and even Allah nobility on the day of Qiyamah. Asma'u bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq was a committed wife to her husband Zubayr, radiallahu anhu. Asma'u bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq was a committed wife to her husband Zubayr.
I would like to adjure our women to read a lot about Asma and try to live her, their lives like Asma. She's a modern Muslim woman for the rest of the Muslim women. Radiallahu anha. So she said, radiallahu anha, أتتني تمرة في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فسألت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أصلها؟ قال نعم. أسماء بنت أبي بكر الصديق said أتتني أمي راغبة. My mother came to me. Her mother was Utaila bint Abd al-Uzza. She was in Mecca, and this event occurred between the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Sulh of Hudaybiyah, and before Fathu Mecca, when Mecca finally came under the triumph of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was within this period that Utaila, the mother of Asma'u, visited Asma. She remained upon Sheikh, let's not forget. So she came to Medina to meet Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, her daughter. And Jamal ibn Zubayr, the son of Asma, also reported this hadith. This hadith of her visitation has also been reported by Aisha radiallahu anha. It has also been reported by her son, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. So let us be aware of this. This hadith has also been reported, this story, this narration has also been reported by Aisha radiallahu anha. And I've also been reported from Abdullah ibn Zubayr. In the report of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, the son of Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, Abdullah ibn Zubayr said, radiallahu anhuma, qadimat Utaylatu ala ibnatiha, that Utayla came to visit. This is a clear-cut reference that her name was Utayla. And this report of Ibn Zubayr occurs in At-Tabaqat by Imam ibn Sa'd. Ulama Abdi reported the authentic. Ibn Zubayr described him and said that he can take some time, inshallah. Abdullah ibn Zubayr said, when she came, when Utayla, who was a mushrika at the time, and most of the reports said she died of her shirk, when she came to visit Asma'u radiallahu anha, she came with a lot of gifts. That was why she said, Atatni ummi raghibatan. She came with a lot of gifts. Raghibatan. She was hoping that when she came, she was going to have good dealings. She hoped to have, she was anticipating good dealings also from Asma. So she came with gifts. She came with things like butter, she came with things like grapes, dried grapes, raisins. She came with other food items, as women do when they make journeys. She came with food items as gifts for Asma. Abdullah ibn Zubayr said, radiallahu anhu, فَأَبَتْ أَسْمَاءُ أَنْ تَقْبَلَ هَدِيَّتَهَا. But Asma refused to accept the gifts. أَوْ تُدْخِلَهَا بَيْتَهَا. She also refused to make her come into her house. Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq refused to accept the gifts from her mother because she was a mushrika, number one. She wanted to know what is the ruling about accepting such gifts. Secondly, she did not allow her to come into her house because at that time, as this hadith said, fi ahad al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was when the Prophet had a truce with the mushrikeen of Mecca. During Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, and one of those things upon which they agreed was that if a non-Muslim woman migrates from Mecca to Medina, she will be returned from Mecca to Medina, she will be returned to the Muslim. But that is upon the premise that she has come to accept Islam. But whatever the case, Asma bint Abi Bakr knew that, radiallahu anha, there were agreements on the ground. She didn't know what her accommodating her mother and then trying to her accepting her gifts will imply as far as those agreements that the Prophet had had with the Prophet of the Mushrikun of Mecca was concerned. So she had to be very, very careful. She refused to accept the gifts and she refused to allow the mother to come into the house. Utayla bint Abdul Uzza, radiallahu, she did not unfortunately die as a Muslimah, so we can't make a parody to her. We can't say that Allah should have grant her his rid or his pleasure. So Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anha, said, Atatni ummi raghibatan. My mother came hoping to have nice dealing for me. He asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the Prophet and human, during the period of the Prophet and human to the people of Makkah. I hope that this matter is clear. رضي الله عنها فسألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So because she did not know what was the ruling faith about being nice to a mother in this kind of a situation, she said رضي الله عنها فسألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So it's required that has now been to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq would ask from the Prophet what she was going to do. This makes us understand many times when we do something we would have done it before we start asking for the rulings. But for her, as important as caring for her mother was, and she knew the rulings of that, she wanted to know what is the ruling of this kind of a behavior in this circumstance. She was not sure that there was an agreement between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Mushrikun at Makkah. And here she is, she has traveled all the way from Makkah. In fact, in the report of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, she did not come alone. She came with her son that she had had in the second marriage that she had, Al-Haris. So she came with that son, the both of them came to visit Abu Bakr, but she did not allow them to come. She wanted to ask first from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the meaning of allowing that kind of a woman in this kind of a circumstance to come into the house of the Prophet? Is it lawful for me to be kind to her? And how will I do? So she asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, I'll see you her. Should I be kind to her? Should I still be nice to her? Should I accept her gifts? Should I allow her to come into my house where I have my husband and family? Should I still relate with her as I would have related with her if she was a Muslim? I see you her. Should I still connect the ties of kinship with her? And the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Naam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered in the affirmative, Naam, yes, you should. In the report of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, also in Sahih al-Bukhari, he says, Simu ummak, connect the ties with your mother. She said, Asiluha, and the Prophet said, Naam, Simu ummak. Yes, connect the family ties. Be nice to your mother, despite the fact that she's a mushrika, and we have agreements with the rest of the mushrikun regarding those kinds of women, even though she has not come to accept the Islam, she had only come to connect family ties with you, so you should still be nice to her. The scholars have drawn a lot of points of benefit from this. One of it is that it encouraged for us to travel to connect family ties. You could see we tell that travel to connect family ties. And the family, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed that. So it means it is lawful to travel to connect family ties. And don't forget, she was a Mushrika, yet she did not come alone. She still went with her son. So if a woman says, oh, I want to go and visit my parents, make sure you are not going alone. Make sure you go with someone who is a mahram to you. Either your husband, or your grown-up son, or your brother, or your father, or your uncle. You should avoid to travel alone. So that this is not now used as the reason to say, oh, Kutayla bin Abdul Izzah traveled alone from Makkah to Medina and the Prophet did not prohibit her. Don't forget that in the first place she was a Mushrika. But at the same time, even like that, she still came with her son, she did not come alone. But the ulama have drawn from that it shows that we can travel from one place to the other. Maybe we live in Lagos, our families are in Ibadan, our parents are in Ibadan. Travel from Lagos to Ibadan, visit them, be nice to them. And when you do those visits, take along gifts for them. So this is lawful for us to do. So when she said that, قال ابن عيينة, الإمام ابن عيينة رحمه الله said, فأنزل الله فيها, Allah revealed regarding this مسألة, فيها في المسألة. Some of the scholars said that فأنزل الله فيها means that Allah sent down regarding this issue, regarding يعني أنزل الله في المسألة. Allah says, فأنزل الله فيها, Allah revealed regarding Asma'u Binti Abi Bakr al-Siddiq رضي الله عنه. In either of the cases, it was regarding Asma'u Binti Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, and it was regarding the mas'ala of having a mother who is a mushrika to visit us, and an injunction that had to do with the child being kind and nice to such mothers. when they do such kinds of visitation. What was the verse that Allah revealed regarding that? He said, لَا يَنْحَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ إنما ينهاكم الله عن الذين قاتلوكم في الدين وأخرجوكم من دياركم وظاهروا على إخراجكم أن تولوهم ومن يتولهم فأولئك هم الظالمون. Allah said, لا ينهاكم الله. This verse occurs in سورة الممتحنة أو سورة الممتحنة. In which Allah says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah has not prohibited you regarding those persons. لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. They have not stopped you regarding your leave. Kutayla bint Abd al-Uzza is not quarreling with Asma bint Abi Bakr regarding her religion. She's not fighting her over Islam. Why did you accept Islam? Why did you follow your father? Why do you work on the religion of Islam? Lam yuqatilukum fi din. This mother is not fighting her children because they have accepted Islam. Wa lam yukhrijukum min diyarikum. She was not responsible for throwing out the Muslims from Mecca to Medina. Let all the Muslims go out of the city. We don't want to see them. We stole them to death. We will be difficult to death. We did this. This mother, Husayla, she was not involved in these kinds of things with her son Abdullah, or with her daughter, Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهُمْ. Allah has not prohibited us regarding people who have not been hostile to us in terms of our religion. They have not thrown us out of our religion. Allah has not prohibited us from being kind. Allah has not prohibited us from being kind to these kinds of mothers, to these kinds of fathers, to these kinds of relatives, to these kinds of people that we are from the same city. They are not hostile to us. They are not punishing us because of our religion. They are not flogging us. They are not coming us out of the home. So Allah has not prohibited us to be kind to them. And Tabarra'u'l-Mu'at-Tukufitu'ilayhim. The scholars have interpreted it in two ways, and it can mean the two of them. And تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. To be nice to them, وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. Some of them say that أَنْ تَجْعَلُوا لَهُمْ قِسْطًا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ. That is, that you should give them some of the gift that Allah has bestowed upon you. وَتُقْسِطُوا. Give them some gift, some juice from some part, from what you have. These kinds of mothers and relatives, Islam does not prohibit us from being nice to them too, and giving them gifts from what we have. In Allah, I like those who make a fan, who give gifts. This is one interpretation that the scholars are giving of the faith. But others have said, no, what this does mean is that what the Prophet said, Allah has not prohibited you from being fair, from being just, from treating them nicely and just. Why? Inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin. Allah likes those who are just and fair. You see that this verse involves the two of them. Because this is really going to involve being nice, being, you know, giving them gifts and all of them. So Allah has not prohibited us from being nice regarding these kinds of matters. In the next verse, it says, Inna ma yanhaakum Allah. Those that Allah has prohibited you from treating like that. And in Ladina, qatalukum fi din, wa akhrajukum min diyarikum, wa zaharu ala ikhrajikum an tawallawukum. Those that Allah has prohibited you from being nice to, from showing them kindness, are those who qatalukum fi din, defight you and punish you for nothing other than your religion. They threw you out of your house, they stole you, they treat you very badly, expel you from the cities. Not just that, they also cooperate with other people to punish you and deal with you as far as your religion is concerned. Allah says, Allah has prohibited you from doing nicely
with these kinds of people. These are the people that you should avoid and be careful about. These are the people that you should be careful about. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ. Whoever now goes out to start taking these kinds of people who are hostile to the Muslims regarding their religion, who punish them because of their religion, who don't want to see any good in them because of their religion, whoever now goes to take these people, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ. Who takes them for friends, takes them for protectors, takes them as people of intimacy, being intimate with them, فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. These are the wrongdoers amongst the Muslims. Why? Because they are investing goodness in an area, they are investing their attention, they are investing their love, they are investing their intimacy in areas that are wrong. So it is wrong. They have placed their love, they have placed their intimacy, they have placed their interest, they have placed some of what they are doing to these people in the wrong place. So Allah refers to them as Zalimun, people who wrong their own souls. So it means that Qutayla bint Abd al-Uzza was a woman who was not bad in her dealings with Asma'u bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. But that when someone finds parents, fathers, mothers who are very, very, very difficult in terms of the dealings with their children, such that sometimes, like the parents of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, they could even contribute to the child being killed or being hurt because of their religion. These kinds of people you should avoid and know how to be very, very careful about that. Still, if we have any way of being nice to them, we should do it. If we have any way of saying good things to them, we should do it. But we must not invest our love with them. We must not invest intimacy with them. We must not take them for protectors. We must not take them for helpers, because they know that they cannot help us. They cannot protect us. They don't love us, and they want every evil to us. So why should you invest these same things to them when they don't want it regarding you, and they hate you for your religion? So you should be careful about it. But still, even this day, whenever there's an opportunity to extend the hands of goodness to them, we should therefore extend that hand of kindness to them. But when these mushriku parents, or kufar parents, Christian parents, Jewish parents, they are not in any way harmful or hurtful to us. We should be nice to them, but not follow them upon their disobedience to Allah. I hope that this hadith is clear with this explanation. As now we're going to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq said, attack me, ummi, raghibatan fi ahdi nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fasa'altu nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Asiluha qala na'am. قال ابن عيينة فأنزل الله فيها لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين. I hope that this hadith is clear. If we have any part of it or anything in it that's not clear, inshallah we will respond to it at the time of questions. The next hadith is hadith number 26 under the chapter of Badr and Walid al-Mushrik. Being nice to a parent or a father, a relative who is upon ship. You see Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahmahullah. In the first hadith, he brought a hadith, in the first hadith of the Bab, the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, it was a relationship between the mother and his son. That mother was a difficult mother with the son. She was hard on the son. The second hadith he brought, it was a mother and a daughter. But the mother was easy upon the daughter, upon the child. So we will see that the differences in their dealings have been mentioned in the passages of the Quran that have been cited regarding each of the reports. Here in this hadith, hadith number 26, Imam Bukhari said, Haddathana Musa, Qala Haddathana Abdul Aziz ibn Muslim, An Abdullah ibn Dinar, Qala, سمعت ابن عمر يقول رأى عمر رضي الله عنه حلة سيراء تباع فقال يا رسول الله ابدع هذه فالبسها يوم الجمعة وإذا جاءك الوفود قال إنما يلبس هذه من لا خلاق له فأتي النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم منها بحلل
فأرسل إلى عمر بحلة فقال كيف ألبسها وقد كنت فيها مرحوت؟ قال إني لم أعتكها لتلبسها ولكن تبيعها أو تكسوها. فأرسل بها عمر إلى أخ له من أهل مكة قبل أن يسلم. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا موسى، الإمام موسى ابن الحديث الشيخ الإمام البخاري موسى ابن إسماعيل التبوذكي أبو سلمة، أبو سلمة موسى ابن إسماعيل البصري التبوذكي، قال حدثنا عبد العزيز بن مسلم عن عبد الله بن دينار، عبد الله بن دينار اسمه لا ابن عمر، he's like نافع. ولكن نافع مولى بن عمر، نافع مولى بن عمر، نافع مولى بن عمر. ابن عمر also had عبد الله بن دينار. He was very, very beneficent too among the tabi'un. He was also a free slave of عبد الله بن عمر. His name is عبد الله بن دينار، مولى ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما. قال فمنك ابن عمر يقول عبد الله بن دينار is taken from the one who had freed him from slavery. عبد الله بن عمر يقول فمنك ابن عمر يقول he said that he heard عبد الله بن عمر say that رأى عمر حلة سيراء كلا رأى عمر حلة سيراء كلا عمر رضي الله عنه رأى حلة سيراء فلسا حلة حلة is a piece of garment, a pair of garments, usually one at the top and the other below it. That is why it is not referred to as حلة. حلة is a pair of garments, one at the top, one below. When it is one at the top, one below, it is called حلة. If it is just a piece of cloth, it will not be referred to as hulla. And usually, hulla is a pair of new garments. So, Umar ibn Allah anhu saw a pair of new garments, Rabbi Allah anhu. And these new garments, they are siyara. They have silk threads. Rolling across it as stripes, with silk stripes. It's a silk stripe, new piece of garment. Silk stripes, two pieces of garment. And they are both silk stripes, new pieces of garment. And then Omar saw it in some report, he saw it in the marketplace where goods are advertised for sale. And that was just at the doorstep of the Prophet's message. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. This is evidence that you can have good displayed at the doorstep of a message. Those who for forbidden sell goods, once you step out of the message, you find there are places where they sell goods, they sell jalabiya, they sell habbatul sauda and honey. You find evidence in this hadith for what they do. So that is the evidence for it. That place was where Umar was the level and this sort of pieces of garments that had silk stripes that are sold at the entrance of the masjid. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Umar رضي الله عنه then said, O Messenger of Allah, إِفْتَى هَذِهِ Buy these two pieces of garments with silk stripes. It will show that they are expensive material. They are nice looking material. They are pricey, I mean something that's worthy of attention. Very nice material that Umar رضي الله عنه was calling the attention of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم unto. He said, يا رسول الله افتع هذه فالبسها يوم الجمعة. Buy O Messenger of Allah these two pieces of clothes so that you can wear them on the day of Jumah. You can wear them on the day of Jumah. So some reports it added and said you can wear them in the days of Jummah and you will enjoy them to dress up on the days of Eid. Wa ida ja'aka al-wufud. Likewise when the delegations come to visit you. So he mentioned three things. You can wear these nice clothes on the days of Juma. You can wear these nice clothes on the days of Eid. You can wear these nice clothes when delegations come to visit you. Without taking our time, it's appropriate to mention that the scholars are saying that this is evidence that we can buy new clothes for the purpose of wearing it on the days of Juma. We can buy a new clothes for the purpose of wearing it on the days of Eid. We can buy a new clothes for the purpose of wearing it when people, eminent persons visit us, or when we go to visit eminent people. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been given these three suggestions for buying the clothes, and he affirmed it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since he did not reject it. قال بكفة بنفس إنما يلبس هذه من لا خلاق له إن سنبقى في الآخرة إنما يلبس هذه من لا خلاق له في الآخرة بكفة بنفس إنما يلبس هذه those who wear these kinds of clothes are those who لا خلاق له في الآخرة people who don't have a share, who don't have a nasib on the day of Qiyamah. There are two interpretations that the scholars have given to you. They don't have a share in Akhirah. Some say they will not enter Al-Jannah. That the punishment for wearing silk clothes in the dunya is that they will be denied from entering Al-Jannah. They will not enter Al-Jannah with those who will enter Al-Jannah who don't have that same with them. This is one explanation that the scholars have given. Others have said this is wearing this clothes. Those who wear this clothes are those who will not wear the silk clothes in the Akhirah. So those who wear this clothes are those who don't have a share in Al-Jannah from the very beginning. Some say no. The meaning of this expression is that those who wear these kinds of silk materials, they are those who will not wear La Khalaqala, La Nasibala, La Hazala. They don't have a share of the silk that will be worn on the day of Qiyamah. Because they have been waiting to wear the silk material in this dunya. And let me also quickly mention that this ruling about the prohibition of wearing silk is only restricted to men. The women are allowed in the Sharia to wear silk, as is in the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib in Sunan Abi Dawud. The women are allowed to wear silk, but the men are prohibited from wearing silk. Except men who have things like rabies or scabies or something on their skin, that when they wear the silk appears to suit their skin. I think that was the permission the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to the presence of Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, who was allowed to wear silk by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we are not saying, where people in that circumstance have such kinds of issues, they are also allowed to wear silk. This man, we have some skin conditions that when they wear the silk, it suits the skin. But from the rest of the men, it is prohibited for us to wear silk. That's why the Prophet is saying this hadith that إِنَّمَا يَلْبَسُ هَذِهِ مَنْ لَا خَلَقَ لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ Those who wear these kinds of materials are those who will not wear it in the hereafter. Or those who wear this material are those who will be used from entering the Al-Jannah as a means of some punishment for what they do, for wearing the silk while on the earth. That is if Allah does not grant them forgiveness. That's all. After Mashiach. I hope that we understand that and the issues of Al-Qidah. That when there is a threat regarding a particular punishment in the hereafter for a Muslim over a sin, which is hence upon the fact that he does not need Allah's forgiveness for all his sins. Because some of the people who believe in Allah will gain forgiveness for all their sins and they will be forgiven. So this point of reference requires this matter requires mention. فَأُتِيَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْهَا بِخُلَلٍ Thereafter, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought some khulal, some pieces of garments, also with silk chaff were brought to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other reports, it was said that there were three in number, three sets were brought to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributed it amongst three of his companions. And that's the prophet Fakata Omar Rahulatan. The prophet gave Omar one of the hula from the tree that was brought to him. Wakata Ali and Hulatan. And then he gave Ali ibn Abi Talib another set, another pair of the hula that was brought to him with silk stripes. Wakata Usamata Hulatan. And he also gave Usama ibn Zayd another piece from that that we have brought to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That report occurs in Sahih Muslim. So it was not just Umar who was giving. He gave it to Umar, radiallahu anhu. He gave it to Usama ibn Zayd, radiallahu anhu, and Umar. He also gave it to Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. فَقَالَ Umar بن كَيْفَ أَلْبَسُهَا أَوْ مِسْنِدَ of Allah. How should I wear a cloth or conclude that you have my faith? When you have said about it, what you have said? You have said that this cloth, now you know, you know what you have to do, more or less, or less, or less, or less. You have told me that those who wear these kinds of clothes, the other day I wanted you to buy the clothes. You have said that those who wear the clothes are those who don't have a share of stroke on the day of Qiyamah. And those who will not enter Al-Jannah at the time the people enter Al-Jannah in the Akhirah. Allah will give you to know again. You said something about it when the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّا لَنْكَ رَبِّكَهَا لِتَلْبَسَهَا. I have not given you this material so that you can wear it. I did not give you so that you can wear it. وَلَكِنْ تَبِيعَهَا I have given you so that you may sell it. أَوْ تَقْسُوهَا Or you may give it to someone else to wear. You may give it to your wife to wear. I think such a place is not prohibited for women. That occurs in a report. That's one of the reports of this hadith. That yes, you can cut it and give it to your wife to wear. So your wife can wear it. You can also sell it and make money from it. I have not given you because just I want you to wear it. I have given you for other reasons. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Umar heard that, فَأَرْسَلَ بِهَا أُمَرُ إِلَىٰ أَخٍ لَهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ مَكَّةَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسْلِمَ Umar, when he heard that, he could give it as a gift to someone else. Umar radiallahu sent it to a brother of his مِنْ أَهْلِ مَكَّةَ who was in Mecca at the time, Qabla and Yusuf. Before that brother of his accepted Islam. Before that brother of Umar accepted Islam, that meant that brother of Umar, to whom Umar had sent that gift, also accepted Islam. After he was, but before he accepted Islam was when Umar wrote the law and who sent that gift to him. And this is the type of reference in this hadith. Umar radiallahu anhu was still kind to his brother who was upon shirk. He still sent a garment that was nice, that was pricey to him. A garment he loved for himself. A garment he loved that the Prophet wore, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But for the fact that they could not wear it because it had silk stripes on it. Okay, I could give it to someone else who may wear it or who may sew. Who may also sell it, because since it is not permissible for a Muslim to wear it, it is not also permissible for a Mushrik male to wear it. But that his brother could sell it and make money from it. Just like Omar too could have sold it, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and made money from it. That's why ulama say this is evidence that there are some things that we cannot use, but we can sell it. It's not allowed for a male, for example, to wear golden materials, golden ornament, golden chain, golden ring. It's prohibited for a male. But it does not mean that he cannot sell gold, see that. Just like silk is prohibited for males, it does not mean that he cannot sell silk materials. And the evidence for that is this hadith, because the Prophet said he could sell it, even though he had prohibited that he could wear it. He allowed that he could sell it. But the point for which Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported this hadith in this book under the Sharta heading is that if it is allowed, and it is actually allowed to be nice to our brother, to be nice to our sister, who is a mushrik, who is not even in the city where we are. Look at what Umar did, radiallahu anhu. He still tried to connect family ties with him.
How about our parents? Because we could have asked, this hadith has nothing to do with our father, neither does it have anything to do with our mother. So why has Al-Imam al-Bukhari cited this hadith under this chapter heading? The reason is that if it is allowed, and it is actually allowed to connect family ties with non-Muslims, how about who are our brothers, or who are our sisters, or who are our relatives? How about our fathers and our mothers? Of course, Al-Abadil Awla, that will be a greater reason. The fact that it is allowed for our brothers is evident that it is also allowed regarding our parents. If we can connect family ties with sharing gifts and being nice regarding the affairs of this dunya to our relatives who are not upon Islam, then we can also be nice in the matters of dunya to friends and relatives who are to parents who are not upon Islam. But don't forget, the verse in Surah Al-Mumtahina is a ruling verse regarding this issue. The verse in Surah Al-Luqman is a ruling verse in this issue. What is that? وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِهِ. If you see that they begin to make efforts upon you, come to us, join us, follow us, participate. Don't follow them, don't obey them. وَصَحِحْهِمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And that does not still prevent you from being nice to them regarding giving them this. Regarding being nice to them, but don't follow them. This is point one. The second point is that verse, the second verse we read from Surah Al-Mumtahana. إِنَّمَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَأَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ وَظَاهَرُوا عَلَىٰ إِخْرَاجِكُمْ أَنْ تَوَلَّوْهُمْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. When these people become hostile and tough against Muslims and conflict to the rest of the people to punish the Muslims because of their deen, you should be careful. Don't invest your love for them. Don't invest your interest in them. So these are the restrictions that the Sharia has given us regarding these matters and regarding these people. So if it is this important in the religion, to be nice to our parents, to be nice to our brothers and our sisters and other relatives who are non-Muslims, like Umar bin radiallahu anhumah, then radiallahu anhu, then it is with a greater reason that we should treat parents who are not upon Islam with this kind of goodness as much as we do not become, as a result of that, a follower of their desires.
It's not what our mind can even imagine. So you can see how these things are. So when we say a woman is beautiful in this dunya, I don't think that that beauty has anything to match with the beauty that we will see of women inside Al-Jannah. The same thing when we mention other issues regarding Al-Jannah. When we say the rivers of Al-Jannah, we are talking about something bigger than what our minds can conceive, even though they are still rivers. I hope that that explanation is clear. That is one. The second thing is that in the world, Allah does what he wills. If he has predicted something for us in this dunya, he has done that out of great wisdom. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and out of his will, for our own is to obey what he says. Even in this dunya, sometimes he will permit something and later he will prohibit it. Inna rabbaka yaf'alu ma yurid. So Allah does what he wills. Our own is to obey and follow his instructions. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that that is clear, inshallah. Everything that a woman wears or everything that a man wears can be sold by any person who sells what men and women wear. Everything that a man wears, we wear, usually our garments are about four. We have an inner top inside, we have an inner lower, and then a trouser, and then a garment on top of it. Usually, this is the average men's wear. So a man can sell all these, despite the fact that there are some men who can go about with the one that is underneath it, that we can't go out with. So now that person goes out with it is that person's issue. It's not an issue that is connected to the person who is selling it. But there is usually a small line of difference. When we know we are certain that these persons will not wear these dresses upon niceness or from goodness, then the selling person may avoid to sell to them because we are sure that they will commit sins and evil with them. Allahu Alam, this is what I understand regarding this matter at this time.
Ma'am?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me clearly? Yes. Now, in the Quran, the haram shay'an haram thamanahu. Yes. When Allah prohibits a thing like alcohol, when Allah prohibits a thing like zina, haram thamanahu, He also prohibits proceeds, money made from that thing that He has prohibited. But you know, the prohibition for fusk in this case is a prohibition that is restricted to a part of the ummah. It is not a general prohibition for the entirety of the Muslims. It's a prohibition that is related to the males of the ummah. In fact, even amongst the males, some males are allowed to wear fusk, as we described in the condition of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. So if it is entirely prohibited, it means we are also prohibiting it, that we cannot even find those who are allowed to use it. They will not find someone to sell to them. This hadith is evidence that that's an exception. That if something is prohibited, that a part of the ummah is allowed to use that same thing, then it means it is allowed to sell it, and it is allowed to use the proceeds from that thing that is sold. This hadith is the evidence for this position that I'm saying now. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed that Umar sold the silk and he used the money for things of benefit to him. I also can stop the class. The evening lab, I will answer that question again tomorrow. I had answered it, but I will answer it again tomorrow before we commence the class, inshallah. I mean, well, yeah. I don't know.